Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier. And, John, usually I throw it to you and usually introduce our guest.
Yep.
But I'm...
You're not doing it this time?
No, I feel... Let me introduce a guy for
Fine.
Once, you know? So...
Kind of a new year. I'll give you...
It's a new year.
New you.
It's a new guest. We're very excited to have him here. So I just want to introduce him.
All right.
And now... From Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, disc jockey and PA announcer extraordinaire, number one, Matt Cord.
That's good.
What? You're not going to say what college you went to?
From Glen Mills.
You changed it to Glen Mills.
Not
SUNY Plattsburgh.
Oh, I should have said, and from, it was a little wordy, from the State University of New York in Plattsburgh, New York.
That's good. I like that.
Matto, that's the last time. I told John, because in our podcast, I think, you know, we've done 3 years of these. I think we've done, I don't know how many, and I think I've done a Zinkoff impersonation, because John keeps going, do your Dave Zinkoff. I'm like,
I love his Dave Zinkoff.
I think our podcast listeners have heard me do Zink enough. But
we do a feature now at Sixer Games. It's called the Zink-alike contest.
Yes.
And we get two guys on the court in between a timeout, or during a timeout, and we play the video of Zink doing introduced to Dr. J, and I think it's a 76 All-Star game.
Yes.
Captain of the Philadelphia 76ers, Julius. Nice. And we show them, and then they have to imitate.
Matt, can you please, I'm putting the request right now,
plant Tom Burgoyne
as one of the contestants, and I'm going to be there that night.
Well, that's the night they usually wear the retro jerseys
that night.
I love those jerseys. Yeah. So it's just... I love them. Much better than, nice nod last year to the Boathouse Row, but this year's unis are great.
But we'd have to use it. You can't just be, you're going to be like Bill from Manny on. Yeah. Put a hat on you.
Well, I think, I've told you this before. They had a Zinkoff sound contest, a satellite contest at the Spectrum. They were honoring him one night, and they gave you an index card, and you had to say three things. And one was, that's a 30-pointer, and you had to roll your R's. I couldn't do that. I was ready to. And that was just to get through the first cut, and then you would make the second cut.
Now, how old are you at this point? Are you high school? College?
I was like 16.
16, okay.
Yeah, and I was devastated. And Conklin, I've talked to Conklin about this, and I think he didn't win, and he was completely offended that he didn't win the contest. Some Joe from, where Manny
Conklin didn't win.
He did not win.
Wow.
And he was in it, too, and that was before he was, doing all the radio stuff.
Well, the last game we ever played at the Spectrum, the Sixers, it was 2009. Yes. We just did one game over there, and it was against the Bulls. And Conklin, we brought in Conklin to do the – because a lot of the old-timers were there. So Joe introduced, Dr. J, and Moses was still alive. And he did the whole intro. The lights went down. And as soon as the intros were over, Del Harris, who was an assistant coach with the Bulls at the time, came up. And I'm sitting next to Joe. And he looks at Joe. He says, man, I've missed you. That's so good to hear your voice again.
Oh, my God. He thought
great.
He was still alive.
You look great. And then he walked away. And Joe goes, does he realize he'd be 100?
Yeah, because his last year was 85,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Joe just didn't say a word, didn't correct him at all. He's like, yeah, you got it, fella. He goes, I'd be 100.
Yeah, it looks just like the Zinc.
Yeah.
It's speaking of that, I can't believe it's been 25 years since you got this gig. I can't, because we all remember when you got it, and I just can't believe it. But I forget, was it Tom LeMain who originally took over after Zink passed? That was 85.
Well, Tom was part of the tryouts, though, I think, right?
Wow.
So Zink passed Christmas Day 85.
Yeah.
Hylit did it for a while.
Oh, Hylit.
Jim Wise did it for a while. This guy Gary Young Did it for a while.
And Gary was with Power 99,
Power
right?
99. Yep. And then
was LeMain in the mix at all?
LeMain replaced me the 1 year they took me off in 2012. I didn't get fired, but, you know, the new ownership came in, and they got a new mascot.
Yeah.
And they said to me, like, we're going to take you off, but we're going to make you in charge of the website.
Hmm.
I'm like, I don't know the web. I don't know how to do computers.
Yeah, what was with that? What were they thinking? And then,
then LeMain did it for that year, and then they brought me back.
They brought you back.
You're like the Howie Roseman of PA announcers, right? They put you aside, and then you come right back in.
Yeah,
you know?
I went upstairs to, like, a little room, attic.
Ah.
Yeah, so Tom did it for the 2011, 2012.
And we love Tom. Tom's a great guy.
Yeah.
But was there a little bit of an outcry that, hey, where's Matt?
There was like a website or two.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, it's totally different styles, too. You know, I'm friends with both of you guys and two totally different styles.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that. Like, you know, and my son Andrew went to a game last month, and he was had great seats. He was sitting right behind you, and he sent me a video of you doing the intros, and I've seen you do it before. But, you know, your style, you get so into it. Did that evolve, or did, when you took over way back when, did you already kind of have that style, or did that evolve?
Yeah, it totally evolved. When I first started, I had the mic on the stand with the button that you push.
Okay.
So you're kind of restricted because you can't really move the mic. And maybe like my halfway through, maybe, I don't know, seventh, eighth year, I said, why don't you give me a mic with a cord? You know, I could be like Roger Daltrey. You know,
and that
just opened it up because I got the cord. Yeah. And like, I mean, people can't see this now, but I'm like, this
swinging
side, that side, my head over here, you know, Ty and Reese. And then, you know, I stand up sometimes. Yeah. So, you know, even when I do my, at the very end, I always save Embiid for last. So I'm like, and it's 7 foot from Cameroon, because he wants to be for Cameroon now, no more Kansas. You know, I go, number 21, Joel. Then I turn around the guy who's right behind me in the front row, the process. And I go down like this, hit Bead.
Now, who's doing the bead?
That's a guy, Lou Diva. He's up in the audio control room way up top.
Okay.
And he's in charge of the echo button.
Was there any guidance, like, to say, hey, Matt, you know, maybe you do make, you know, pump it up the crowd a little bit more? Like, did they ever give you any of those instructions? That just kind of happened organically.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
But I also imagine that you got – I remember you from the Wings and Phantoms days. And from the Wings, you had that very emotive, you know. So they probably hired you because of that. Mm. And then you kind of took that, right, and put some elements into the Sixers.
When I first started, Pat Croce – he comes up to me when he bought the team. He's like, I want to make you – I've been to Wings games. I like how you yell at the other team.
Right.
Because when the other team would get a penalty, you know, Buffalo, you know, penalty, get, and I'd be like, get in the box. Right. And, you know, number, you know, John Tavares.
Right.
And people were like, wow, he's yelling at the players.
Nice. You know?
And that's when I developed the very low monotone, you know, Buffalo goal,
Toronto
goal, and that just – moved over to the
and Sixers. With the Sixers, when you know a guy now, scores a bucket, it's hilarious.
Now there's a lot of NBA PA guys that do the exact same thing.
Well, I was going to say, is there a fraternity? Like, are you guys a fraternity? Like, do you know the guy from the Bulls and the guy from the Bucks and the guy from the Celtics? Like, do you guys meet at all? Ever talk about?
I mean, when I did NBA 2K in LA, I met two guys because I, you know, it was during COVID, so I was coming in as the Charlotte guy was coming out, and then Minnesota was coming, you know, so you kind of meet them for a little bit, but.
Do you listen to away games and see how they do
it? Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, and locally, we had Lou Nolan on last month, was one of our guests, and, you know, I kind of thought, him and Dan Baker must hang out all the time. He said, not too much. I mean, they've known each other forever, but I guess locally, and, you know, used to come over to the Vet all the time and, you know, press club, and but Dan, and I know you know Dan and love Dan.
I love them both. At one time, we
Lou,
all got to hang out. It was at a Gary Maddox bowling event. We were all like, and I just thought it was so funny that Lou refers to Danny! Hey, Danny! I'm like, you can call him Danny? You know, like.
But look at this town. So three of our four major league teams, right, major teams, you have, you're the basically, other than the Eagles guy, you're the new guy.
Yeah.
Because Dan Baker's 50 years, Lou Nolan's 50 years, right?
Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah.
And then you're at 25.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And there's no way, so no other city has that, right?
Good point there, Johnny.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
So. The other thing, too, is we were talking, you know, players. Do players come up, and I kind of know the answer, but do players come up to you before the season and say, hey, this is how I want to be my name said, or you know, here's how I want to be described? How does that go?
No, they'll do like what Joel did and he did this like 2 weeks ago. He said, you know, can you skip Kansas and do Cameroon? You know, they'll do stuff like that. Because he's Cameroon, I guess, was in there's a, you know this, you're a soccer guy. So there's a soccer tournament in Africa right now, trying qualifications for the World Cup. So I think he just wanted to shed some more light on Cameroon because that's where he's from, and he's a huge soccer fan, and he, like, watches all their games. So sometimes they'll do that kind of thing, but very rarely they'll say, like, can you say my name? Whenever we trade for a player, I go up to him right away. And I say, hey, this is what I got. You know, like George Niang, when we got him in the beginning of the season, I'm like, you know, George Niang. He was like, yeah, I love it, you know. And then I ran into Drummond the other day because when Drummond scores, I do the drum roll. Andre Drummond. Right. He's like, yeah, man.
Man. How can't you love
and
that?
What about a high school guy? Because you're not going to say they're college. They didn't go to college. So do you ask him if you can say they're high school, or do you just?
Yeah, I haven't really. I don't think we've had any high school guys on the Sixers. When Reggie Miller was playing, so he was from UCLA. Like halfway through his career, he would have me. He'd tell the PR guy, tell the Philly guy, I want to be announced from Riverside Polytech High School.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you get that on Monday Night Football. And,
yeah.
Guys will.
But every time I see him, because he does our games now, I'll be like, he's like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He's like,
now some guys do. I think there was one star player that that wanted you to change his height, right?
Yes.
Really?
Allen Iverson, after many years of saying a 6 foot guard from Georgetown, he's like, hey man, make me 6'2 tonight. I'm like, all right, whatever. So that game, you know, and he was always last. So I was like, and finally, a 6'2 guard. And you look at Eric Snow and George Lynch, they're like, what?
6'2.
6'2?
Did anybody else pick up on that?
No, and then the next game, I think I did it one more game. And then Snow came out to me the next game and said, can you make me, because he's 6'2. Can you make me 6'4"?
Right, there
and I'm
you
like,
go.
Whoa. Like, by the end of the season, we're all going to be like Mutombo type.
7 foot.
Yeah. And then Iverson did come up to me like maybe a couple of games after that. He goes, hey, man, we better go back to 6 foot. I get in trouble.
And how about pronunciation? I still, the Greek freak, I still can't pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Did you ever, do you use his name? Did you just say the freak? Or?
When he first came in the league, and you know, this is his first few years, he wasn't that good. And I remember stopping him during like warm-ups at 5 o'clock, and I'm like, "Hey, how do you say your name?" He's like, "You know, Jonas." Let me. He'd say it, and I, now you say. I'm like, "No." And he'd say it again, "Jonas Antetokounmpo." Now you say it. I'm like, "No."
That would be me, John. Yeah, yeah.
And then finally,
you.
He looks at me. He goes, "Don't worry, no one will know but me."
Jonas said,
"Yeah, no one's gonna know you messed up."
Now, sometimes players pay a lot of attention, especially when you don't. If they're superstar players, in fact, Hall of Fame players, that you don't announce.
The Karl Malone story.
Ah.
So we're playing the Utah Jazz in preseason, and preseason was the only time that we would announce the entire team, like all 20 guys. And you're announcing guys that you know aren't going to make the team. You know they're trying out. They're preseason. So he's obviously a starter. So I had all 20. We had index cards. So I start with, like, number 20, and we work our way to the starting five. And so I'm flipping through all these cards, you know, like all these names I never heard of. And then you get to their starting lineup, you know, Andre Kirilenko and Calbert Chaney. And for some reason, when I flipped one of the cards, it stuck to Malone's. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, I realized it right away, but you can't go back.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, the guard and the guard, I figured who the guards were. And then all of a sudden, lights go up, and thinking, all right, no one caught that, you know. Like, I just introduced 20 guys, and then Malone's
paying attention.
Malone's slowly walking up the table. He's like, "Where's the announcer?" I'm like, "Over here." He goes, "Let me introduce myself to you. 14-time NBA All-Star, 2-time MVP. You know, a 6'9" forward from Louisiana Tech, power forward, number 32, Karl Malone." I'm like, "Listen, I'm really sorry, but your card stuck," and I'm showing him the staples. So, see, these staples sometimes stick, and when I flip Calbert Chaney, he's like, "My card stuck? That's what you're telling me?" Yeah, see, he just walked away. He was pissed. So the next year we played them in preseason again. Yeah. And I made sure that I said his name, and I wasn't going to say anything to him. And he comes into the game, or he's right before tip-off, he's walking by me, and he looks at me and goes, "I knew you had it in you. I knew you could do it." And he smiled.
That's a guy who gets it. Yeah. That's cool.
Well,
that's,
and that's Tom, cool. Sometimes there's an absolute superstar, just like Karl Malone, obviously, Hall of Famer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another superstar is there to appreciate your work.
Right.
Steph Curry.
Steph.
How about this one? Did you hear this one? This actually went viral.
I saw that online.
This went viral.
Yeah. He liked how you're doing the intros,
Yeah, because we introduced the visiting team first, you know, and then after they're done, there's some time to kill because the lights go down and we show this two-minute-long, hype video. And
yes.
So the players are, stretching, and he always stretches right in front of me at the table. And then he started watching me do the intros, He was just like, yeah. And then, I got to the final one and beat it, and he's like, high fives me and gets going.
You can tell he's moved by because Matt, as Matt explained earlier, he's moving. He's going down, he's going up, he's this. Right. There's a lot of movement
here's
there.
Here's the best part of that. He did all that and he shook my hand, he was into it. And I'm like, damn, I wish I had a video. I turn around, everybody had that on video.
Yeah, good. Because
wherever Steph Curry goes, everything is video.
Yeah, of course.
Nine guys, I got it. You want it? You don't realize everything he does.
John, if we don't try to get too deep on this podcast, Matt, but I think an overriding theme, and when we bring guests on, we love guests who, it's just so apparent they love what they do.
Yep.
And when we had Tom McGinnis in here, and Jason.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, and Jason Stark.
Are you kidding me?
And
this is Theo's house.
There's certain people, when you watch them work or you read a Jason Stark article, it's just like you just get the sense that they love what they do. So that's that right there,
yep.
Matt. That's tremendous. You were talking about the show, the videos and the going to a Sixers game since I was a kid. The Pat Williams, started with him, and Dr. J and Pat Williams, the general manager at the time, just knew how to entertain. And they have just kept that going for, 40 years. How involved are you in that production? Are you meeting with Franklin before the game, the promotions team? It just seems like there's always something going on.
Yeah. Derek Hayes is our live events director. And he always involves me. We do a lot of rehearsals, especially before home opener. We'll go in the day before and rehearse. It's all timing, seconds to seconds.
Yeah.
We'll always have a new hype video before the playoffs. Every day with these guys because they're full-time employees. I'm still, basically a part-time guy. But I also have a say in our ceremonial bell, which is a big part of the intros now, lights go down. The bell is a symbol of the city's unity and passion.
Yeah, yeah.
Ringing tonight's bell. The dramatic pause.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, in terms of the bell, who's the best, the one that got the greatest reaction?
Doug Peterson. So
nice.
Maybe a month after the parade, walking out.
No brainer, right there. Right?
With the Lombardi Trophy in his hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's huge.
That's hard to top.
We had Doug on about a month and a half ago, knowing that he had a good chance of getting a job.
We did.
Head coaching job. And sure enough,
we didn't think it would take a month for him to get that job, but it happened. We knew it was going to happen.
We're kind of job
head
coach whisperers over here.
It's funny, though. Everybody wants to ring the bell now. I get hit up all. Mike Jarek of Good Day Philadelphia, he's like, when am I ringing the bell?
Right.
He's like, Hurricane Schwartz rang the bell. He's like, Alex Holly rang the bell.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I will shoot a copy of the Who's Ringing the Bell, and I send it to him like, hey, look who we got tonight. The other night we had, and I never heard of these girls. They're the biggest stars on TikTok. So they're two girls, they're sisters, and they – are worth millions.
Because they're famous for taking selfies of themselves.
TikTok, yeah. And they both rang the bell.
Wow. And people went nuts.
Yeah, they did.
Huh.
Yeah.
So how about that? People, your friends are calling you to, hey, when am I doing it?
Oh, yeah.
That puts you in a great position. Yeah. We're kind of working back with your career too, Matt. Okay. Obviously, you such a great career in radio. Some of your favorite interviews, when you were just awestruck to be in the same room, maybe not interviewed him, but I don't know, Rolling Stones.
Well, hold on. First of all, Matt working with celebrities young in his career because he was an Eagles ball boy before he got into the radio business.
That's true.
He probably got immune to,
There you go.
Right? You got almost.
Yeah, I was the assistant. I traveled in the 1977 season with the team. So, it was Gabriel and Zaworski and.
Mike Barilla.
Mike Barilla.
Tom Dempsey.
Harold Carmichael. So, how'd you get that job as the ball boy?
My uncle was an assistant coach for years with the Buffalo Bills. And then when Vermeil got the job with the Eagles – he basically fired the entire staff, but he kept on two guys. He kept on John Major, who was his uncle, and John Idzik. And then he hired all his own people.
So. Man, that's how you got the gig.
Yeah, yeah. Like well, coaches' kids are the ones.
And you got some great memorabilia from those from that time, right?
Huh. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. What do I have?
I don't know, but I went in, I went into your house and you had cool pictures and cool something. You're showing me.
Yeah.
What do I have?
You weren't there for the.
It's gone.
I know. I used to have.
I took it.
Bill Bradley. Remember him?
Bill Bradley.
Yeah.
Bill
I had
Bradley.
His Adidas.
Number 28.
His Adidas sneakers that he wore at the vet. That's that point over there.
So it was that year you didn't make it to the
Super Bowl year.
Super Bowl year, I guess.
No, I did not.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not.
But I also know you were a, like, did a little acting and modeling. You were you on the cover of a Kellogg's
Cornflakes.
Box? Cornflakes?
Yeah. Yeah, I was
Were you like the Mikey from, or what, like?
No, the call went out
that's
for
a life cereal.
Yeah, that's life.
His mother was my manager at one point.
Is that right?
Yeah. So a call went out for, you know, when there's a call for a job, they're like, we want a young teen that, you know, can look like a football player. And I was 25 at the time. I looked very young. I went into the call. They put, you know, a helmet on you and put, like, the eye black and you held up a bowl with a spoon. And
wait, were you working for that Long Island radio station at that point?
No,
this is before radio.
Way before that. Yeah, short hair. Yeah.
Did you get good bucks for that?
No,
does that pay?
I didn't. I was, like, stupid. It was the first gig I got in New York. Oh. I just started acting. So it was, like, a $2,000 buyout. And the box was on the shelves for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's huge.
Now was it, then you also did a
Levi's
TV commercial,
yeah,
and a Planters
cheeseball.
Peanuts.
Yeah, right? Once I started doing commercials, that you get those residuals.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
but the Cornflakes box was funny because I was on the same time that Danny White was on with the Cowboys.
Okay.
So I'd go into the supermarket and it'd be my box and his box.
That's but classic.
His box was autographed, so I would just stand there and autograph mine, put it back on the shelf.
John, you've always wanted to be on the box of Wheaties.
But I have.
Look at that's like, yeah, you've always said that. It's your dream.
Sure.
It's your dream. Now, so then you wound up. Now we're going through your career a little bit.
Yeah.
You wound up going to the State University of New York in Plattsburgh. That was for journalism or broadcasting, or what was that for?
I majored in philosophy.
Is that true?
Yeah.
John was like a religious major.
Religious studies major, history minor.
I got an A in existentialism. I can't even spell that word.
Why do you think Matt and I are such good friends? You know,
just that whole... you guys are on a whole different plane than I am.
College I went to, the bars closed at 4 in the morning, and the drinking age was 18.
And you're right near the Montreal.
That's why you went
Right near the Canadian border.
Yeah, 15 miles from Canada.
Nice.
And UVM, a boat ride away on the other side of the lake.
So how did that transfer into?
I got into college radio. You know,
college radio.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was Matt Helm on WPLT.
What, your radio name? You had your own radio name? Why Helm?
That's what this one guy in my dorm called me that. Dean, remember those Dean Martin movies where he was called Matt Helm? He was like a James Bond character, but not as crafty. And I just became Helm. All my college buddies to this day, I'm known as Helmet. Where, you know, we all go down the shore every July. It's like, Helm, you come? Helm. I'm like, who's Helm? Oh, it's me.
Yeah. And is that like playing records? Was that rock music?
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Ramones, Lou Reed.
Yeah.
The Wall came out when I was in college.
Nice.
You know, lots of Dead.
Nice.
You know, the Clash.
Yes.
London Calling.
So then after your acting career, then you went, you worked for a station out of is it LIB or LI?
I worked
BLI?
WBLI in Patchogue, Long Island.
Yep.
You're 10 in a row, hit radio. And I was Matt O'Brien.
And did you give yourself that name or somebody else?
I gave myself that name. I just like getting different names. Yeah, I did like the overnights there for like 2 years, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got a job at STW for a little bit in Delaware.
Yep.
Matt Clark After Dark. And then DRE in Long Island, and then MMR.
Then MMR.
Yeah. Well, and Y100.
Well, yeah, MMR, then Y100.
Oh, right. Right.
Then back to MMR, and then FM.
Now, what year did you go to MMR? Was this late
80s? 1991.
Oh, 1991. Yeah. So still, I guess, was the Zoo still around? Like, was
DiBella
was still doing mornings?
Yeah,
and so
Pierre was doing middays, and Joe Bonadonna afternoons.
Yeah. That was massive.
Yeah, it was at Rittenhouse Square.
Yeah, you know? Was that your dream job?
Yeah,
or?
Totally. I grew up listening to all those guys. Yeah.
That's when I first met you, because my first job was in 94.
Yeah.
And I remember someone saying, I said, you know, what radio station guys would be good, like someone young that's going to be, you know, a sports guy that's going to be here, a fixture in Philadelphia. Everyone's like, oh, you got to meet Matt Cord. Matt Cord's the guy, right?
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah, like my first shift, I followed, I came on at midnight. And I followed Michael Tiersen.
Michael Tiersen.
He was on until midnight.
Yeah.
And I was in the next room. I'm like shaking. And he goes, this doesn't happen too often. We got a new DJ, Matt Cord. He'll take care of you. And then he like walked out. He's like, have fun.
So I played an actor in Homicide.
I was like, I just got introduced by Michael Tierson.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, because especially that station, same thing. Our childhood, we're all around the same age, and like that was revered.
They were rock stars.
They were rock stars. They were huge. So going back, I'm going to steal Tom's original question.
Now we can go back to
now
that
we can
question.
Go back to your
now
question.
We can
is
set that question.
So
up.
Early in your career, whether it's in Long Island, whether it's in Philadelphia, what was the first interview that face to face or on the phone that you were most intimidated when it was when you're like, oh my god, I can't believe this is Alice Cooper, or I can't believe I'm talking to Eddie Vedder. Whoever it is.
First interview, Johnny, was when I was at Matt O'Brien at WBLI, and I went to Debbie Gibson's graduation at Calhoun High School because we were playing her on the radio. And I tried to get an interview with her at her graduation. Like, my boss said, go get her. You'll get her at the graduation. And her manager was, you know, she was a star. And she was graduating from high school. The manager saw me. He's like, listen, she's not doing any, but if you want, we're going to be at the Mann Music Center next week. And I can get you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can go to Philly, yeah. So I interviewed her at the Mann Music Center. I have no audio of it or anything.
Were you nervous?
Oh, totally nervous. Yeah, you know. And it was.
She sang "Take Me Out to the Ballgame" this year.
Did she really?
As part of our '80s trivia. Yeah.
Matt, I got to tell you, you surprised me with that one. I'm waiting for, you know, was it
Ozzy Osbourne,
Mick Jagger, or was it Roger Daltrey? Right. But we go Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson.
How about the coolest interview? Now that you know, now that you're, you know, a savvy veteran radio guy. Who was the coolest interview where you're like, wow, that was really cool. I just interviewed so-and-so.
Paul Westerberg.
Okay,
Replacements. Replacements when I was at DRE. That was like 90.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Who else? Let me think. Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis.
Okay.
Came in 91.
Yeah.
You know, and he left this most amazing, you know, what an idea is. Like, hey, this is Anthony Kiedis. You're listening to the Matt Cord. He did this 40-second, like, you know, I'm a superstar lover, and he's blah, 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 he's jumping away. It's Matt Cord. You know, like, I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Like, he got this great idea, which I don't have anymore.
Yeah. I was in the studio. You invited me in for
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz being interviewed.
Lenny
yeah,
came
that's a good
in.
One.
I knew we had a mutual friend.
Did a whole
Lenny.
Hour of radio.
Yep.
He picked out his own songs.
Awesome.
But you know what? I had Eminem on his very first interview ever in Philadelphia when I was at Y100, and that was kind of.
And different. He was just breaking, was
just
he?
Breaking.
Yeah.
You know, my name is. He hadn't even done any rap stations yet,
right?
And you know, he was on, and he took a picture with his pants down with all of us. And, you know, right. But I tell you, when I do like, I'll do like career days, at, like middle schools and stuff, or high schools, and I'll bring that picture of me, and it's total cred.
And they, you know, yeah, they know him.
The Mick Jagger picture means nothing.
Means
these
nothing.
No.
Do you think Eminem's going to get into the Hall of Fame this year? He's on the ballot this year.
It's his first year. I can't
first
believe
year.
He's eligible.
Because you need to have X amount of years in, right?
He's getting a lot of votes. Like, we get the updates of them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's getting a lot of votes. Pat Benatar, him, and who else is
Benatar should definitely
be in. She's been in a long time ago.
All right, man. What interview went the most awry? What interview did you have that does...
Were you involved in this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is there a good answer? I hope so. There's got to be one you're like, oh, boy, like maybe it got contentious or maybe just whatever.
Of John's interviews go awry, actually.
Yeah, there's got to be one that kind of
is. All right, there's this band called Love Spit Love. Do you remember them? They were the Psychedelic Furs after the Psychedelic Furs.
Okay.
Richard and Tim Butler, and they came in and they just gave me nothing. Like, so, the new record, yeah. And then, like, maybe after the fourth question, I'm like, you know, you guys look really tired. Let's... Yeah. And I've seen Richard Butler since then, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, we hated that band. We shouldn't have been out doing any radio for that band.
Well, also, Tom, I don't know if you know this, but you know, Matt's got a very special relationship with the band Pearl Jam, in the sense you would take a couple of the guys out playing basketball at PCOM, right?
Yep, PCOM,
when they come into tour.
And then Villanova, too.
But you also helped talk about the number one record that that you helped create.
So Pearl Jam's biggest chart, topping single, and that's how Eddie introduces it from stage, is called Last Kiss, which is the cover of Frank J. Wilson, The Cavaliers. You know, it's an old, oh, where did my baby go? So it's their biggest song. And it came out as a 45. Like, if you were in the fan club, they would give you a 45 every Christmas. So I got it, and I went to my boss at Y100, Jim McGuinn. I said, can we start playing this on the radio? He's like, yeah. So I carted it up. Remember cart machines?
Yeah, of course.
Because I couldn't play the 45.
Yeah, yeah.
And we both did the music here, so we both know cart machines.
Okay. We use carts.
Yeah. So we carted it up, and it became we used to have, like, the screamer or the shriek of the week, and it became the biggest hit. And Eddie tells the story that he's like, yeah, I knew it came from Philly, and I didn't know it was you. Huh. He goes, but I was in Hawaii, and he talks real slow. Yeah, you can't interrupt him because his train of thought.
Very thoughtful, yeah.
He's like, and I was off the grid. And I said, like, into the wild, kid? He goes, war. Like, okay. He goes, and I was in a mountain, and I came into town to get some supplies, and I turned on the radio in the Jeep, and Hawaii radio is really bad. It's all top 40. And I heard Last Kiss. And he goes, and I was like, wow. He looked at me, he goes, and I thank you for that moment.
Nice. Because that really did have a life, and I didn't know it started with you and in Philly again. Yeah. Wow. Great song.
I introduced Jill during the 2009 World Series. I put Eddie Vedder into a suite with Tom Brokaw, not knowing that the two would know each other. Tom Brokaw was very excited to meet Eddie because Tom Brokaw's daughter worked for Warner Brothers Records. Eddie was very excited to meet Tom Brokaw because he's a big fan of him from his journalism career. So I brought Jill into there, and I said, hey, Eddie, this is my wife, Jill. He says, cool. He goes, my lady's name's Jill.
That's right.
Cool.
He seems like one of those just nice guys, you know, and cool and chill. And
gives out his phone number to fans. Yeah. And we interviewed him in the Wells Fargo Center in the locker room where Villanova, that's their locker room when they play games. And he walked in. He's like, Villanova, what's that mean? I'm like, he goes, this is their locker room? Wow. You know, this is it.
Well, we talked about his friendship with Raul Ubañez.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a big Cubs fan. And, you know,
he knew baseball because I took him around the whole game. And he's asked me, like, detailed questions about Cole Hamels and, you know, about the team back then. And, like, he did his homework. And I don't think he did his homework knowing he's come to the game.
He just
knows baseball.
Knows baseball, yeah.
He loves baseball.
Hey, speaking of baseball, so this is a Phillies podcast. You grew up in this area, I think, since you were 7 years old, I think, is when you moved down from New York. At the time, were you a big Phillies fan? Did you come to the Vet?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite player?
My first game ever, my dad took me to Connie Mack.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You were at Connie Mack.
Yeah. And I don't remember much. I was really young. I don't remember much of the game, but I remember going to Connie Mack. But, yeah, the vet days, you know, Don Money.
Don Money.
Tony Taylor. And then when I worked for the Eagles, like, we shared the locker room. Like, you know, I remember Dick Allen coming in, like, asking me the keys for the racquetball court, you know.
Right.
And then Boa, like, you know, yelling at me for something like, you know, the steam in the steam room's horrible. Tell Rusty. You remember Rusty was this famous equipment. Tell Rusty he's not doing his job. I'm like, Larry Bowles yelling at me.
I just told the story with Mike DiMuzio. We were sitting out there at lunchtime. Mike's been here for years and years, right? So we were saying at back at the Vet, as you mentioned, the Phillies locker room, then you had the Eagles locker room, and between that was the bathroom. They could both, you know, our back door connected to the bathroom there. Other door connected to the bathroom. So their season would be our off season and vice versa. So Dennis Mannion, who's my boss at the time, he'd say, come on, let's do the lazy man's workout, and we'll go down and do a sauna.
A sauna and a
steam room.
We didn't want to.
We'd go into the steam room, and then we go into the sauna. Now we're in, like, towels, whatever, in the sauna. And next thing you know, like, eight naked offensive linemen from the Eagles
come in. Kenny Clark comes walking.
And they'd sit all around you, and you couldn't move. But you also didn't want to leave right away because he didn't want it to make it too awkward. But you're waiting for the first person to make their move.
Wait, John, I hope you did this. Did you just look around and say, man, it's like a sauna in here.
It's hot.
And the offensive linemen, their lockers were right at the end of that part of the they were closest to the sauna.
Right.
Because they had, I remember every one of their lockers had a big spittoon in it where they would spit out their chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
I've never felt so small in my life.
I
gotta tell you.
Do you remember where you were? Well, 1980 and 2008?
1980, I drove down from Plattsburgh. We were watching the game, and my buddy Kevin, who's a Met fan, but he just wanted to take a road trip. Like, let's go down. Let's get in the parade.
Awesome.
And we drove 8 hours.
He was a Mets fan?
Yeah.
And he's
a baseball fan. We drove 8 hours, and we were like, by the time we got here, we went to my parents' house at Glen Mills, and we just slept. We missed everything.
Okay, yeah.
But we watched it. Yeah, 80, I remember. Yeah,
that's classic.
What about 2008? I forget. Were you at the game?
2008, I had a Sixer game that night.
Oh.
So the game ended at about 9:15, and we all watched it in the courtside club.
The second part of our rainout?
Yes.
The Sixers were home?
Sixer
I
forgot game.
It. Well, I don't even know if I forgot about it. I think I don't remember that. Wow.
I know the Sixers were home, I think, on Halloween when we had our parade. Is that right? I think
yes, we were home that, too. Yeah,
right.
yeah.
But they were home the night we won it.
We won. I remember watching it with Big Daddy's wife and Ava. Because they were in the, of course, you know, you remember who you were with.
Sure.
And every time we see each other, like, we watched the Phillies win the World Series. And then I remember, like, leaving, like just driving by this building. Like, it was insane.
Yeah.
Like I got to get home.
Well, and you've interacted, you know, obviously we're great friends and had you down in spring training, had you here. And you've interacted with a lot of our guys. Now, one story I love to tell is when Matt Cord did not take my advice. He came down to throw out the first pitch in spring training.
Got to listen to John on that one. I usually don't listen to John either, Matt. But,
so he comes down in spring training, and he's going to throw out the first pitch, right? He's very honored, right? It's going to be cool down there. Yeah. And I give him the advice I give everybody. I said, all right, you know, make sure you're going to be throwing in front of the mound, not on the mound. Make sure you have a high release point, right? Because if you air high, you get an ooh. You go too low in the ground, you get a boo. You'd rather have an ooh than a boo. Don't try to throw too hard. If you try it too hard, what's going to happen? You're going to get a boo. You're going to do a worm burner, right? So I give you this very detailed instructions, and we're about 2 minutes. We're standing like
Can I just say I had no warm-up, okay? A lot of people have thrown out this first
pitch.
Yeah,
no warm-up.
All right.
Pierre Robert got like a two-week seminar. he's like, no, you can't warm up. I'm like, so one warm-up, I'll go out back.
So
Matt and I,
about 2 minutes before he's going to go, we're standing on the dirt right next to the Phillies dugout in spring training, and Chase Utley comes up through the diamond dugout and sees Matt and knows Matt just, you know, from hanging out. And he says, Matt, what are you doing here? He says, Chase, I'm about to throw out the first pitch. He said, do you have any advice? And Chase says, "Yeah, throw it as hard as you blanking can."
He goes, "You don't want to look like a wimp. You want to look strong."
And he was very demonstrative. He's like,
I'm like, so, are you sure saying this way?
I'm giving safe route.
Yes,
Chase is doing the unsafe
best
route.
Players in the history of baseball tell me who am I going to go with?
So I knew he was going to go with Chase's, you know, but I didn't know how it was going to the outcome. Sure enough, he gets out there. They introduce him. Matt literally throws into the ground about, 10 feet?
Well, do you remember Chooch was catching, and Chooch had to stretch, and he fell down. He was mad at me, like, dude.
And he got booed. He got booed by the
– Of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, by the crowd. Mellow. They don't boo to
– They cheer everybody.
They cheer everybody in Florida.
I mean, I went to the Tiki Bar and –
Well, thank God Chooch didn't pull a hamstring going after the ball that you threw.
That was bad. And then I look at Chase, and he's just laughing like, you idiot.
Well, you've also got to know Sarge, right?
Sarge.
You were neighbors with Larry Anderson.
I still see L.A. He still walks. He's a fast walker now in my neighborhood.
Now, you want to tell a story you want me to about when we surprised you while you were sleeping?
You can tell the story.
All right, so Matt's roof.
I might not edit it properly.
Yeah, Matt's roof and the roof I lived downtown connected, right? Yeah. So you could go from my roof right to Matt's roof and then go down the hatch. So we were having a party at our house, and it was getting pretty late. Matt left the party early because he had an early morning. And so L.A. and I, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, we said, I don't know who had the bright idea, but we said, let's go mess with Matt, right? Because we know he's sleeping. So we go across the roof. We go down Matt's hatch. His dog Scout is looking at us, and he's looking at me and saying, what's this guy who walks me doing at 1 in the morning? Matt's sound asleep. L.A. gets on one side of the bed. I get on the other side of the bed. We start shaking him, and all of a sudden
you were jumping up and down on my bed. That's how I woke up.
And then Matt,
two large men jumping up and down.
And Matt literally was, I guess, asleep for about 30 seconds because he was awake, but he was asleep, and he's going, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Now, you know, how was he going to kill us with his hands? But but still, it would have made news if you did try to kill us.
Well, Scout, I'm surprised Scout didn't take a chomp out of you, John, because the Scout has taken a chomp out of the Philly Fanatic.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
So I'm really
national news.
Yeah, so why didn't Scout go into attack mode at that point?
Because I think he knew Brazier, or she knew
Brazier. Okay, I get you. Okay.
Yeah.
But L.A.?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've edited that story a little bit. A little bit.
Well,
to protect everybody.
No one has since gone into the hatch.
Yes, that's true.
And we do, I was saying.
I was kind of glad when John moved out.
the shenanigans.
And is LA is one of the most entertaining people you've ever met in your life, right?
Absolutely.
You just don't want them living right next to you.
But yeah, if you're gonna go out with somebody and want to lose weight laughing, LA is your man.
LA is your man. There.
He'll walk. He does the speed walk. Him and Tommy
Brennan.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll walk by. And one day, this dog was. A little puppy was off his leash and running all over the street, and I'm like stopping cars, and I grab the dog, and LA's walking by. He goes, "Ever hear of a leash?" And just kept walking. Their owners ever hear of a leash?
But you mentioned that was a national story when Scout went after the Fanatic, right?
It was the on sale for when the Police were going to play the Citizens Bank Park.
Yes.
And when the on sale was over at the
Wells Fargo Center. Yeah.
And you know, since it's the Police and the ballpark, you were over there, and I had Scout, you know, I brought my dog. I'm doing a live radio show and did not like the Fanatic, man. And then I remember he'd say, "Can you put your dog in your car?" This is
like, well, there literally is a picture, John, of Scout taking a chomp out of the Fanatic's butt.
Yeah.
Right out of his butt.
Yeah. It hangs in my desk.
John, I know you want to do the quiz. I have one other question because you mentioned Pierre Robert earlier. Right? Pierre's been here forever.
Yeah.
How great has it been to work with Pierre when you did? I know you don't work with him.
No, I see him now. We're right down the hall from each other.
Yeah, just classic, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's he knows nothing about sports.
Right.
But he'll try to like.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, he was like one day... He was like, "I was at the gymnasium the other night, and I'm watching your Sixers, and it said Fee, and you guys were playing Wish." And I was thinking, well, at least Fee is beating Wish is Washington. You know, they just give you the initials. He goes, and then Wish kept making shots, and they kind of like almost beat Fee. I'm like, it's Washington. It gets us.
Did you ever hear when Kevin Gunn, who you've worked with many years, Kevin Gunn was Pierre's longtime producer, right? So this is 1996. Philadelphia gets the All-Star game. So ironically, Steve Carlton becomes the spokesperson for FanFest, which is funny because he didn't talk to the media, right? But they hired him
as a
spokesperson for FanFest.
Very funny.
So I had to take Steve Carlton around to different radio stations, which obviously as a young employee, it was awesome, right? Because Steve Carlton was my favorite player as a kid. So I was coordinating the interviews. And I was going to go to Matt, you know, from MMR, because Matt knows sports. But I talked to Kevin Gunn, and Kevin Gunn said, "You know what? I know Matt is probably the perfect choice because Matt knows sports more than anybody at the station. But I'm thinking about this could sound strange, but we could have the greatest interview of all time, or it could be the worst, but it could be the greatest interview of all time if we have Steve Carlton interview Pierre Robert, because Steve Carlton, you know, they're almost kindred spirits, but they don't know anything about their own worlds, right?" So Pierre Robert is doing a live remote from a coffee shop on South Street. I'm in the car saying to Steve, I said, "Steve, the guy who you're going to interview is an institution in Philadelphia. His name is Pierre Robert. He's got long hair. He probably has a tie-dye shirt. He's a deadhead. He's from California. He's going to, you know, if he pretends like he doesn't know anything about baseball, it's because he's not pretending. He doesn't know anything about baseball." And so Kevin Gunn was telling Pierre that, "Hey, Steve Carlton, you know, has a lot of abstract theories and he's, you know, has unique training methods and this and that." So we're both preparing each other. They do this interview, and it was the greatest interview. I've got to find it.
I got to find it
because it was the greatest interview because they were talking about karma and feng shui and like all these things that were like nothing about sports or music or anything. It was just, and they were kindred spirits, and we walk out of there. And at that time, that was our fifth radio show, and Steve Carlton said, "That's my favorite guy so far. I really like that guy, Pierre."
That is why Kevin Gunn is the greatest producer of all time. That guy was the bomb. But all right, you're chomping at the bit. Matto, I guess you heard.
No. Look at his look. He didn't know
he didn't know he was going to be tested.
Are we
today?
Done yet?
No, there's an 8-question quiz, multiple choice.
Your life.
And it's about your life, so you have an inside track.
All right, it's not like trivia or anything.
No. And that there is some trivia in here, but the bar we usually say is 6 out of 8.
Six out of eight.
I know you went to Sleazy Adams, so that's 3/4, right? Okay. So Right? And what does he win, Tom? He's got to be something Fanatic related, right?
Fanatic related.
How about an autographed picture of that of Scout biting biting the Fanatic?
There you go. Right? The Fanatic will autograph.
Do you have that?
I do have it in my office.
Bring it in, okay. And he'll
okay. the best friend, Fanatic
will sign it.
All right. Yes.
All right. Here we go. Ready? First question. I mentioned you went to Sleazianum, right? School mm-hmm. in Wilmington, Delaware. Which of these celebrities did not go to Sleazianum? So three went there.
Okay.
One did not.
All right.
Tell me which one did not. A, Bernie McInerney. He's the actor who played.
And these are all going to be celebrities.
He's an actor who played. Yeah, celebrity's a loose word. He's the actor who played an old man on Scooter and Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Okay.
B is Simon Diamond, who's a professional wrestler. I don't know his real name.
All right.
C is Charles Nelson Reilly with the Ascot in Match Game 76. Right. And D is Dante DiVincenzo, Villanova Hoops player, currently on the Milwaukee Bucks.
So wait, one didn't go there or two?
No, one did not go there. So you got the guy,
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly is correct. Right. Did you know Bernie, the guy who played the old man on the scooter?
I did not know Paul Blart Mall Cop?
No.
When we had like Randy Wolf on, who went to school, and Lieberthal went to school in L.A., Brentwood or something.
All kinds of stars.
It's like, how many guys went to this school? Yeah. And I didn't know Villanova.
Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, his dad graduated the year after me.
Did he light it up in high school? Like, was he like
a
great?
I was far removed from that.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think they want to stay with him.
Yeah, actually, I was pretty impressed with Sleazianum's alumni. There was a lot of generals and politicians. Yeah, it was good.
Beautiful.
All right. You attended college, as Tom mentioned earlier, at State University of New York, Plattsburgh. It's up near the Canadian border, we mentioned. Which celebrity did not attend that school? Okay. Michael Rispoli, who is the actor who is best known for his role as Jackie Aspriel Sr. In The Sopranos.
Okay.
Right? Jackie Aspriel Sr. Right. in The Sopranos. Snooki from Jersey Shore.
Right.
Actor Tim Robbins, right. Bull Durham, Shawshank Redemption. And Edie Huggins, longtime TV reporter in Philly, soap opera star and motion picture actress. Snooki from Jersey Shore. As far as I know, I didn't really do research on that, but I'm pretty sure she did not go to Plattsburgh. So, yes, you are correct.
I'm pretty sure she didn't go to college either, but that's just me. Go ahead.
All right. Here's the one that's not really.
She majored in existentialism.
here's the one that's not really about you. I just figured you might know it. We're in the middle of the Olympics right now, right? So where is the next Olympics taking place? It's the Summer Olympics of 2024. Is it Paris, Madrid, Berlin, or Quito, Ecuador? Paris, Madrid, Berlin, or Quito?
Paris.
Paris is correct. Did you know that?
Yes. It wasn't Quito.
Nice. Yes, it wasn't Quito. All right. Number four. When did PA announcer Dave Zinkoff start with the 76ers?
1965.
All right. Maybe I have it wrong because I had 68, 70, 60, or 63.
Oh. All right. I have choices here.
Yeah, 68, 70, 60, or 63?
I go 63.
63 is correct.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my research right.
Yeah.
So, but I usually butcher one question.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Here's a tough one about the current Sixers. Who is tied with Joel Embiid with 2.6 fouls per game? 2.6 fouls per game.
On our current roster?
Current roster. Is it George Niang? Is it Tobias Harris? Is it Andre Drummond? Or is it Matisse Thybulle? Is it Niang, Harris, Drummond, or Thybulle?
I go Niang.
Niang is 5 for 5,
Dang.
Tom.
I would have said Drummond there. So
five for five right there. All right.
You're on fire.
You worked for the Wings, as we mentioned, right? Who has the Philadelphia?
Chopper. Chopper-rama.
Chopper.
Wings trivia.
And Chopper's dad. No, Chopper, was it Chopper's dad?
Big Gabe.
Big Gabe.
Scott Gabriel's dad.
Scott Gabriel's dad, right.
The
Big Gabe.
Gabes, yeah.
Yes. All right. Who has the Philadelphia Wings franchise record for most goals in a game with 10? I don't know if you were announcing back then, but who had 10 goals in a game? Was it Scott Gabrielson, a good buddy of both of ours, Paul Gate, Tom Marichek, or Ethan Iannucci?
I want to say Marichek, but I'll go Ethan Iannucci.
Ooh, I thought you were going to go the other. No, it's Paul Gate.
It is Paul Gate.
Had 10 goals, right?
Yeah, because Marichek
is the all-time leading scorer.
And he broke all the Gates records at Syracuse.
Yeah, they were.
That was a beast. Hollywood.
Call me crazy. Is that a lot of goals for one guy to score in a game?
Yes.
10 goals.
Indoor or outdoor.
Like, what's the record for number of goals in a game?
I have no idea.
League-wise, I wonder.
That
That's a heck of a game that got
together. Yeah, if you get over 20, that's a lot of goals in a game, like overall.
Overall.
Team.
Yeah, 10.
Outdoor, indoor, that's a big number.
It's a lot.
All right, you have one. So you have room for one more loss, but I think you're going to be okay. Which one was not a character? We mentioned John DeBella's morning show, Morning Zoo on WMR that we all grew up with back in the 80s. Which one was not a character on that morning show's Morning Zoo? Mark the Shark Drucker? Phil the Thrill Carpenter, Grover Silcox, Action Jackson Quigley.
The Carpenter.
Phil the Thrill Carpenter was not. Yes, that is correct. And for your last one to go 7-for-8, looks like you're guaranteed the autograph of Scout and the Fanatic. And I think there's no way you don't know this. I don't even think I have to give you the multiple choice. What was Pearl Jam originally called?
Well, John... Product from Oklahoma, number 10, Mookie Blaylock.
Mookie Blaylock is correct. Yes, it was either Mookie Blaylock, the Obelisk, Wicked Lester, or the New Originals.
Mookie Blaylock was the original.
Yeah, it was the name of Pearl Jam.
They did like their first five shows as Mookie Blaylock, and then the NBA jumped in and said, "You can't do that."
Yeah. Like, well, what was the inspiration to call your?
They're huge basketball fans.
Yeah,
they liked him.
He's Oklahoma, right?
Yeah. They named the record 10 after his jersey number, 10.
Wow.
I just think they were just searching for a name, you know.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So
it's a great name.
It is a great name.
Yeah.
The Mookie Blaylocks, rocking the house.
Yeah. He was still in the NBA when I first started, and I remember talking to him about that. He's like, yeah, they're good guys. You know, you could tell he didn't know a whole lot about it, but yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, they're good guys.
Huh.
So, Mookie.
You learn something new every day. Matt, we did good here.
Thank you, guys.
Really, I mean, you just came with, I mean, were you, I always want to know, too, when you got, doesn't the gig down here, you're running from the radio shift to get down here? I mean, it must have been insane. Your one show was ending like at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, right? And then you'd have to get down
when
here.
When I was at Y100, I would tape the last 3 hours.
Okay, is that right?
Yeah.
And then, okay, still.
Well, 9 to 2 works out perfectly.
9 to 2 is good.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, but yeah, when we have like back-to-backs, we just finished, I think it was like 5 games in 9 days. That's when it starts to wear on you, you know.
Yeah.
What roster do I got today? Who's ringing the bell today?
Right. Yeah,
What's our halftime act today?
Well, you have somebody, too, who's your right-hand man down there, a spotter of some sort.
I do have a spotter. Okay. Yeah, Norm's a spotter, yeah.
And they probably help you out with some of that, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, it's beautiful. Tough.
And it's a fun team to watch. I love I love Thibault. I love Maxie, obviously, the energy he brings. Embiid is – you know, knock on wood, stays healthy, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's great when a team's doing well and they're guys you can root for, you know. I mean, we didn't even talk about the 2000-2001 season and just the way the city went nuts. And you know, you see it with these guys here, too. It's like, you know, I think it's always nice to have some role players and you got some good role players, but then you got the superstar, and the superstar just happens to be, you know, the guy, you know, Philly has embraced, and he's such – one of us, you know, Joel. I mean, he's just kind of one of us.
And last question, you know? Like, is he as fun as he looks?
Yes. In fact, speaking of that, the other night we gave him his Eastern Conference Player of the Month award. And, you know, I had the copy to read. And it was, by the time I got, like, to the fourth word, he was already off the court. And he just gave the award back. You can tell, he's like, this means nothing.
Right.
Like,
I'm
not here for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so cool. Like, here you go. Here's your award. Yeah. It's almost like he wanted to give it to a fan or something. And I'm like, and he also scored. Oh, he's off the court? Okay.
Well, you know what? I mean, to me, I think he's mature.
He gets it.
Yeah, yes. he gets it. And also, I think he's matured a little bit in that he's more focused the last two seasons, I think. Just, you know, not doing as much of the Twitter and the getting involved and all that. He just seems to be really, really focused.
And having a kid and the girlfriend. And
he
stays in his, you know, where he lives in Center City, and he doesn't go out much. And he's got a great trainer and – you know,
he stayed healthy, knock on wood.
Yeah.
MVP? Is he MVP this year?
He should be right now. He's the leading scorer in the NBA. He's just, you know, we got what, 2 more months to go? So he should be. If it ended right now, he's definitely MVP.
Yep. Awesome. All right, well, good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you, boys.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for coming down. Really
all right,
great.
Tommy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
What's the name of the show? Brazen Burgoyne?
Backstage Burgoyne and Brazen. He got front billing Burgoyne.
Yeah, really, how'd that happen?
It's going back and forth. Yeah, how'd that happen is right. But, John, are we signing off? Is this
it? We are signing off.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Matt, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Philly's Backstage. Backstage.